Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew 13. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." This is the text. These past few weeks we have been working through this series of seven parables in Matthew's gospel, and the parables, as we've seen, have mixed metaphors. Jesus doesn't always make seed be one thing or a field be another thing. He does mix it around, so it is kind of hard to follow. And he's spoken of the good seed in the parable of the sower and the weeds. Jesus is the mustard seed. And he works invisibly like yeast works through an entire batch of dough. Yet for all of his good work, all of the planting of the good seed of the Word of God into the world and planting the children of God into the field of the world, sadly the entire field of the world does not bear the fruit of faith. In those first four parables, we have seen how God works in the world through his word. Today, in the first two parables we hear, Jesus speaks of why he works in the world. And then we have the final parable that reminds us, sadly, that many who hear God's word of promise will reject it and be separated from God and thrown into the fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, just like in the parable of the weeds. Many in our world today, you start talking about a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity, and they will question, well, why would a loving and righteous God eternally punish those without faith for a short few years of faithlessness? Well, really, they're asking the wrong question. Now, I understand why people want to get rid of hell as a concept, because never-ending agony imposed upon rational beings who understand what is going on and recognize their hopeless, distressing future for all eternity, there in the fires of hell. I mean, that concept is so terrifying that it goes way beyond anything we ever want to think about for ourselves or anyone else. However, making our human sentiments the measure of who God is and what he will do, that's always a bad way to approach God, as if we get to judge God on what we think is right. And if you deny that there is punishment in hell for all eternity, you really have to deny that there is life for all eternity. We don't have time today to flesh out the entire connection as you go through the Word of God. But let's just say that when Jesus mentions eternity, he means for eternity on both sides. And for God's faithful, that's a wonderful thing. But just notice that whenever Jesus speaks of the fiery place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, there's always the kingdom of heaven where God gathers together his people. And it's on the heaven side of the equation where we really should be asking the question. Because I am a poor, miserable sinner. And I deserve both temporal and eternal punishment, as we have already confessed today. The unbreakable law of God says that I deserve to be punished right here, right now, and for all eternity. I do not deserve to be in the presence of God. What Jesus explains in the parables today is why you and I can have such great hope. We ask the question, why does God care so much about what happens to us poor, miserable sinners right here in the present, and also for eternity. Why does God care about our future so much that he sent his own son to suffer an excruciating death at the hands of evil men? And we have been reminded in recent days, as we see the plight of Christians in the Middle East, at what happens at the hands of evil men when there is no, you know, mercy to oversee, you know, the governance of a nation. Jesus endured unspeakable pain, suffering, and death. And that was no accident. That was the plan. That was God's plan announced to Adam. The Messiah would crush the head of Satan. Genesis chapter 3. That was the plan. And in doing so, he would bruise his heel. The victory would not be without cost. And without that victory, we would be subject to the unbreakable law of God and suffer the wrath of the law for all eternity. Why does the Almighty God go to such great lengths to rescue us sinful humans from that future that we deserve? Jesus gives us an answer. He says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. You are the treasure hidden in the field of the world. You are the pearl of great value. Yes, you and I are sinful humans, and we do not deserve to be considered a pearl of great value. But God gave up everything, came down from heaven, and paid the full price and purchased you, bought you out of your slavery to sin. Now, why would he do such a thing? It seems totally irrational. I mean, after all, a human body, what's it worth? I mean, it's mostly made up of carbon and water. The value of the physical material is pocket change. We are made of very common elements. Scripture is correct when God says, you know, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You know, why would God go to such lengths to rescue dust out of sin of our own making? It makes no sense. Well, let me ask you this. How much do you value your children? What price would you place on their life? To what lengths would you go? How much discomfort would you be willing to endure to keep them from dying? How irrational would you be to do whatever it would take to keep them alive? If you ponder that, you can understand a little bit the mind of the Lord, because he is our Father, and he will do anything to keep us from suffering for all eternity what we deserve. It is true that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. However, Scripture says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and that by God's hand I was knit together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139. Beautiful words. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew your name. You have a loving Father who sent his Son, who gave all that he had, even his own life, so that sin can no longer separate you from God. That's what the gospel is about. That's what Jesus came to do. Now, we've seen through these parables that these stories that Jesus tells, they're not about us and what we need to do to be right with God. They're talking about Jesus a lot more than they're talking about you and me. He's the one who sows the good seed. Jesus is the mustard seed. He is the man who found the treasure hidden in the field. And he gave up all that he had, even his own life, so that he could purchase you. You are that treasure. You are that pearl of great value. This is why he has done all that he has done. This is why he has gone so far out of his way to bring you near to him. It never fails to overwhelm me that the Almighty Living God, the Creator of all things, truly cares about what you and I are doing right here, right now. As Paul says in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate us. Life cannot separate us. Nothing in all of creation can stop the seed of the Word of God from being sown into the field of the world. And nothing in all of creation could stop the man Jesus from paying the full price to purchase that field. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.